Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm Bob Davis, and, well, with someone that we haven't seen or heard from in quite a while, I'm joined today by Richard Pfeiffer, and it's great to have you, my friend.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Yeah.
Nice to be substituting for Bob Christopher today.
Well, we'll see if you've lost any of your touch along the way.
I probably have, but, you know, we'll stumble through.
I know you've got some good things to share. And listeners, I just want to let you know that Richard is here, and we want to hear from you. That number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. So if you're dealing with a Bible question or if there's some particular issue in life, a problem issue that you're dealing with, well, let us hear from you. We'll talk it through today on Basic Gospel. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here is Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. This month, I've been told, and I think it's true, that we've been studying the New Covenant. And I want to look at something from a slightly different perspective on New Covenant. It's one of the parables that Jesus told. Mm-hmm. It's in Matthew 18. And it's the parable of the two debtors, okay? And I'll keep this short. I could go for an hour on this, but we'll keep it short. I'm going to start with debtor number two. Debtor number two owed 100 denarii, okay? Well, how much is that? The average person got paid one denarius a day for work. So 100 denarii is about 4 months of labor. That's how much he owed.
Yeah.
That's a meaningful sum.
Sure.
I mean, if I had to pay 4 months of my Social Security, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But debtor number one owed 10,000 talents. Okay, so how much is that? One talent equaled 6,000 denarii.
Wow.
So 6,000 denarii equals 20 years of labor.
Mm.
Since he's got 10,000 owed, that's 200,000 years of labor.
Wow. And you hope not for inflation.
Yeah. So remember, Jesus is talking to a crowd of peasants for the most part. They were lucky to get the one denarius a day. And this guy owes 200,000 years worth.
Hmm.
You ever heard this statement? You have a debt you cannot pay?
Yes.
That guy had a debt. Now, both debtors pleaded for patience. I'll pay it all off if you'll just be patient. And the word patience means that you're slow to anger or slow to action with respect to other people. Okay? So was patience going to be shown? Well, the Lord of debtor number one showed patience by his compassion, by release, and by forgiveness. Now, compassion means to identify with a person at a deep yearning level. He just connected with this guy. Mm-hmm. Release literally means to untie.
Yeah.
When they found out he owed 100,000 or 10,000 talents, they just grabbed him and tied him up and brought him in.
Mm.
And he untied him, and then he forgave the debt. That's the same word for forgiveness that we've talked about with sin a million times, aphiemi. And it's just to completely remove all obligation. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Debtor number one, to whom debtor number two owed 100 denarii, showed nothing of the sort, even though debtor number two begged for patience.
Yeah.
Well, what does this have to do with the new covenant? Okay, we receive compassion, release, and forgiveness in Christ because of his complete once-for-all victory over sin. We receive the indwelling Holy Spirit as a result of his complete victory over death. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22. Therefore, the only way for us to show patience via compassion, release, and forgiveness to others is for Jesus to do it through us via the Holy Spirit.
Right.
This was impossible under the Old Covenant. To be sure, there were hints and promises of what was coming, but nothing was finished until Jesus came. Literally, even though people were forgiven, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, under the Old Covenant, it wasn't completed until Jesus showed up and that debt was removed.
Yeah.
Now, if you remember the story, the Lord told debtor number one, I'm going to turn you over to the torturers because you didn't forgive this nothing debt.
Yeah.
until you've paid back everything you owed. And we immediately jump to the conclusion that, oh, man, all that 10,000 talents came back to haunt him. No. He had been forgiven of that debt. He didn't owe a penny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, what did he owe? He owed patience, compassion, and release, and forgiveness. That's why we're supposed to forgive as we've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new covenant in a nutshell.
Right.
Now, he does it in an old covenant way, explaining it in an old covenant terms, but says, this is what's coming. This is what I'm about. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I'm still chewing on that debt I can't pay. Well, great lesson, Richard. Thank you for that. And friends, glad you're with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you're just tuning in, our longtime friend, our dear brother Richard Pfeiffer is joining me on the broadcast today, and we're glad that you have as well. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, well, great opportunity right now. The lines are wide open. 844-322-2742. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we have a wonderful resource that's been helping people enter God's rest for several years now. It's called The New Covenant Journey. Now, this journey will take you to a place of rest and equip you to live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest extent. The New Covenant Journey. We want to send you a copy to say thanks for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in the month of March. Again, you can click donate from our website, basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, Richard is here, and we want you to be a part of the broadcast today. If you have that question, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Richard, in the meantime, let's go to the phones and take this call that came in off hours.
Hi, this is Bree from Fort Smith, Arkansas. How many authors in the Bible were in Jesus' lineage? Also, if the Jews are God's chosen people, should we be following Jewish faith? Should we be looking that up and trying to learn what they do and doing that ourselves? And I also have a problem in my family. I'm the only one in my entire family that believes in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and anything really. And they all roll their eyes at me and get mad at me if I try to bring up a verse or tell them anything. And they even roll their eyes when I read the Bible or put up a verse on the wall or something. This is all my siblings and even my husband. And as I read to our children and teach them things, he gets irritated with me. And I was wondering if there's anything that I can say to him or show to him that would make him stop doubting, because I've tried to teach him myself and he just will not listen. He gets furious. So I was just wondering if y'all had an answer for that. And thank you, and God bless you. Good night.
Richard, that's a tough one. She's in a tough spot.
Yes. So let's deal with number one, number two, and number three. Number one, how many of the Bible authors, especially the Old Testament authors, were in Jesus' line? As far as I know, only David. Jesus is, you know, by human birth, a son of David, both on his father and his mother's side. Mary and Joseph both were descendants of David. Mm-hmm. Now, you would think that someone like Moses was one of those people in his line, because Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But Moses was of the tribe of Levi, and the tribe of Levi did not receive the promise. It was the tribe of Judah who received the promise, and David was of the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. So only David, as far as I know, I could be mistaken, I'd have to look this up and check it. Yeah. As far as I know, only David was of the line of Jesus and Judah both. The second one was about if the Jews were God's chosen people, should we be following them?
Right.
Well, what does it mean for the Jews to be God's chosen people? It meant that God chose them through Abraham all the way to Christ for the Messiah to come through.
Right.
He chose them purposefully for that purpose. He protected them for that purpose. He disciplined them for that purpose. When they ran amok, he allowed the nations around them to come in and straighten them out.
Yeah.
And then he always said, you're still mine, and I'm going to bring you back, but it's going to take a while for you to recognize exactly what you've done wrong. Mm-hmm. So the Jews were chosen for the most amazing thing up until that time, and that was to be the line through which the Messiah, Jesus, would come.
Right.
Well, Jesus came, and then he died, and he rose again, and he fulfilled that entire covenant.
Yeah.
That's the old covenant. So when he fulfilled it, that chosenness went away because it was fulfilled.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that they were no longer loved or that suddenly they were cast out on the dustbin of history. Mm. It means that they had completed their purpose.
Yes.
At that, in that sense. And so now to be chosen means to have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And now Jews and Gentiles alike can be chosen.
Right.
Because what we're offered is total forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when we accept him, we become sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
Beloved sons and daughters
right,
of God.
Right.
Secure sons and daughters of God. We will always be sons and daughters of God once we have accepted him.
Yeah.
Do we mess up? Absolutely. Just like the Jews did back in the day. Does he love us? Yes. Does he discipline us? Yes. Do we ever lose his presence within us? No. In the same way that the Jews in the Old Testament never lost God as their sponsor. They belong to him, and he to them, even when they didn't know it or when they ignored it. And so that part of it is ours now in the new covenant, because the new covenant is for everyone. The old covenant was for the Jews because God needed to define a people through whom the Messiah could come. Once the Messiah has come, once Jesus did what he did, completed his work, died and rose again, now a brand new covenant is in effect, and Jews and Gentiles alike are now chosen to receive him.
Yeah.
So that's a small way to describe a really big question.
Yeah.
Now the final question is, how do you deal with family?
Yeah.
That's the hard one.
Lone believer in her home.
Yeah. I just talked about part of this, patience. We're called to let the patience of God himself flow through us. I can't muster up patience in my own life. I have trouble with someone who's getting ready to turn right at the stoplight, and it takes them more than a millisecond and a half to commit to that right turn when they're able to turn. I'm not real good at patience. And once I started studying patience, it was for another Bible study, oh my goodness, it was convicting in all the best ways. I mean, that discipline God does,
right?
Yeah, I have to learn that. So when you're dealing with family, I know you love them. I know you desperately want them to find Jesus the way you have. That is not your call. Your call as a wife and mother is to love your husband and to love your children in Christ, whether they believe or not, whether they accept or not. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 that if as a wife you're married to an unbelieving husband, hang in there with him.
Sure.
Because you never know, because every day that you love him and respect him and tell him the truth, and I'm not talking about preaching to him. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in every little thing that you do, whether it's traveling together or making food or watching him barbecue or whatever your life looks like, when you are loving him and accepting him and showing him truth, you're planting seeds.
Yes.
And one of these days, he might respond to you and say, man, who is this Jesus guy? Well, there's your opportunity.
There's your opportunity.
But if he doesn't want to hear about Jesus, you can't keep going up to him and say, you know, you need to hear about Jesus. And if you don't listen about Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You can't do that.
No.
Because it didn't work for you. It's the love of God that draws us. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Not repentance of bad things we do, but repentance in our thinking, to turn it around about how we think regarding Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that first little glimmer of repentance, of changing our minds, the Spirit goes, there it is. And boom, he's there. And then then this transformation begins. And it takes a long time.
Sure.
It takes the rest of our lives to be transformed into the image of God's Son, because that's what it's what's doing.
Right.
And it's not my job to transform myself. It's God's job, and he's going to finish what he started, Philippians 1:6. He's going to finish what he started. And so be patient with yourself. Be patient with your husband. Love him the best you can in Christ, and hang in there.
Yeah.
Okay? You never know when he's going to respond. You never know when the kids will respond or when the rest of your family will respond. You may have to put up with some really bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talked about that too. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But fear not, I've overcome the world. So regardless of what you're going through on these external circumstances, trust God. Okay, there's a second word. The first word I talked about today was patience,
mm-hmm.
and that means in relation to other people.
Right.
There's another word that's sometimes translated patience, but it has to do with circumstances, bearing up under circumstances. Here's what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Bree is bearing up under circumstances. The thing that helps you bear up is that you know you belong to Jesus, and no one and nothing can change that. So you are his child. You are completely secure. Therefore, you can love your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You don't love your husband in order to. You love your husband because you already are.
Yes.
And just take it easy. I know, you know, when you're a brand new Christian, you want everybody to know, right?
Yeah.
We've done this program for a long, long time, and we want everybody to know. But we've had to accept the fact that not everybody wants to know. And so we back off, and we just love on people. We get in, we stay in relationship with them. We help where we can. Well, you don't have to agree to start doing drugs with them or anything like that, because that's just dumb. But let God work through you and see what happens down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And bear up under the circumstance, because God himself has a hold of you.
Bree, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Really, tough spot that she's in, but I think you have given her some really, really good guidance on this thing. She actually had another question that was very, very good as well, but we're going to get to that in just a moment, because I want to remind our listeners, Richard, as a matter of fact, Richard Piper is here, and for those of you who have missed Richard over this past, how long have you been gone?
I've been retired for about a year and a half.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Moving right along. Hey, friends, you know, YouTube videos have become an important part of what Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel offer. I'm still laughing at your response. Here at Basic Gospel, free of charge to everyone. We take seriously the challenges facing our families and our friends and the world today. So to help everyone come to a clear understanding, not only of the issues that we face in life every day, but why we face them, well, Bob Christopher has produced literally dozens of insight-filled videos that you can access anytime. Among the most recent additions to that particular list, one, Can a Christian Fall from Grace? That's the brand newest one. I think we've just posted that today, as a matter of fact. Another, What is the Gift of Prophecy? Another, Can a Christian Receive the Mark of the Beast? And What is the Judgment Seat of Christ? Just a few of the titles that you'll find when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. These YouTube videos are there to assist you in understanding and entering in and to more fully the Christian life, and we want you to take advantage of them. Again, you can access them at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel. We have some time remaining on the clock. If you have a question you'd like to pose, and just bring it on. That number, 844-322-2742. Okay, let's go back to the phone now and get that second question from Bree.
Hi, I'm Bree. I'm from Arkansas. I was just wondering, how do you choose a denomination and which Bible you read, which version? And also, are we supposed to be looking at the lost books and reading them? And also the Trinity, I'm kind of confused on that, how they're all the same person. So is it like one person split into three or something? And also, when Jesus was on the earth, was he praying to himself, or who was he praying to? Thank you. Bye.
Bree has a brain, and she's thinking. I love these things. I hope I get them all. How do you choose a denomination? The flippant response is very carefully.
Yeah.
what you need to do is to, first of all, ask God to lead you to find fellow members of the body of Christ. It's not about a denomination. If you belong to Jesus, you have been placed into what the Bible calls the body of Christ.
Right.
That is the church as a whole, church at large. Denominations have formed for primarily human reasons. We believe this way, somebody else doesn't want to believe that way, so they believe this way, and there was a split. That doesn't help the Christian message at all. But there are better ones and worse ones. And, you know, if you're attending a church that is teaching error, well, then don't attend that church.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about error in that you can lose your salvation. No, don't believe that, because the Bible doesn't teach it. If you're going to a church that has different beliefs on some secondary issue, then you can stay or leave, depending on where the Spirit leads you. See, there is no perfect church. There is no perfect denomination, because both are made up of people like you and me.
Yeah.
And what God does is to lead you into a place where you can serve and be served. This isn't consumerism. This isn't, I want to find a place where I can go and be comfortable, and they'll feed me on Sunday, and then I can go home and do whatever I want. No, being a member of the body of Christ is to be in relationship with people. People are messy. You're messy. You can help people that you've been through stuff that they're going through now. They can help you because they're going through stuff, or you're going through stuff that they've already been through.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mutual thing. We build each other up in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So don't look for the right denomination. Look for some place where you can serve people in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a easy answer to another pretty tough question.
Right. We have one more phone question, but you're going to be here tomorrow with me, aren't you?
Yes,
we're going
I
to
am.
Save that one until tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'm just going to pop this one in. This is from an anonymous writer. Says a listener says his family is Mormon, that his wife is devout, but that he's turned away from the belief in Mormonism, no longer accepting its claims. However, he's fearful of destroying his long-term happy marriage when he tells his wife that he wants to leave Mormonism. What should he do? Talk to her, or just stay quiet and preserve the marriage?
She's going to find out anyway. You're going to say something. And it doesn't have to be verbal. Nonverbal cues are really important in a marriage. And if you're sitting there at some service at your Mormon church, mm-hmm. and you roll your eyes or you go, oh, because they're saying something that's not true as you believe it now, then she's going to know.
Sure.
This is your wife. Yeah. You share everything of this kind with your wife. Is she going to understand? Maybe, maybe not. If you've got as good a marriage as you describe, give her a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful. You're not there to tell her how wrong she is. You're there to tell her who you've met. People can disagree with your belief system, but they can't disagree with your experience in Jesus.
Sure.
Because it's your experience in
right.
Jesus. And take it from there. Take it slowly. You're not there to convince her of anything. You're not there to prove that she's wrong and that you're right. Just love her as best you can. In the same way that Bree has a different situation,
uh-huh.
but it's related,
yeah.
Hang in there with her. Give her a chance to come to grips with what has happened. And, you know, you might be surprised. She may have questions, too.
Absolutely.
Give her a chance.
Yeah.
Let God be God and the Spirit work as only the Spirit can.
Good advice, Richard. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If there's something you'd like us to talk about on tomorrow's broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask you to support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift in the month of March, we have a copy of a rich resource for you. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest. Be sure to request your copy. Of course, when you make your gift at basicgospel.net, just click that big, prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our thanks to our great friend Richard Piper for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.